All right, hello, this is Isabel and Writes, Grown Up Story Time. Let's try this again. I am setting up to interview erotica author Lady Josephine, and I've been having mic trouble because I am just a woman with a microphone who really doesn't know what she's doing. No, really, I've been messing with my computer, and whenever I change the mic and sound between devices, it gives me trouble because it's Microsoft. And Microsoft is lovely. Oh, Microsoft, yes, I love you so, so much. You are my best friend, and I am thankful for you and thankful for this wonderful app. But sometimes I just don't know what I'm doing. sometimes I don't want to do it. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. But here I am. So I'm online now. And now I'm waiting for come back. She was just here. And now I'm waiting for her to call in again. Look, see, my little bubble's moving. Somebody somewhere is hearing me. So if you wanna, I would love for you guys to stay and enjoy this fantastic interview that I'm going to have any minute now. And I would love for you, there, yay! Oh, hey, Quincy. Lady Josephine is here and Quincy is here. We're gonna try this again. I'm connecting. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yay! I apologize for being so late and for the mic problem. Every time I switch mics, I have some cordless, and if I use it, doesn't matter. It just messes the whole computer up. And I thought I had checked it twice, and because it wasn't working, and then I thought I had it, but I could hear me fine.
No, it's all good.
Apparently, I needed a live person to test me. So how are you today?
I am good.
Are you good?
Yeah, I am. Just having a relaxing day off. getting some editing done and getting ready to submit my manuscript.
Yes, I'm so excited about that too. Audience, this is Lady Josephine. And I just love that. I feel like I should bow. I'm wearing a dress today. Just picture me curtsying and not falling over on my nose because I'm a little top heavy. So I'm just curtsying to the lady in the room. Can I be Lady Isabellen?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I need some tea now.
I even had to go back and add a title afterwards too. So
it is. It's perfect. Josephine, actually, my daughter has four middle names or three middle names. Her first name, and then it's Isabella Josephine Rosalinda. Because, you know, I'm a writer and what she's the only girl.
Well, see, I have two.
And you have two.
Multiple, and they have multiple names because the more names they hear, the more severe they know they are in it.
You have prepared, you know, you've got the, I was just, you know, like the most flamboyant name I could think of for my daughter.
Oh, my daughter's name is Caitlin Anastasia Marie.
Oh, hey, they're rival.
There you go.
Caitlin Anastasia Marie. It's actually, I can't out her on the podcast. I'd get in so much trouble, but yeah. So her first name, which is four syllables, and then I'll tell you later what it is. Okay. But so you're editing, and now tell me, I want to know, you told me before about this particular story, and you have posted snippets of it on Twitter. You're at, okay, it's Pixie something.
The Perfect Pixie.
The Perfect Pixie on Twitter, and I will share all your creds. And you have a new Medium account, don't you?
I'm toying with it. So far, I'm not 100% if I'm gonna go that route. I'm trying to decide between that and with Wattpad. But it's just trying to figure out the layout. Medium seems very forum-ish to me.
Yes, yeah, it is a little
And
bit.
I've never been a big forum person. Like most people are like, oh, hey, check it out on Reddit. I'm like, I don't use Reddit.
I was on
No, I don't like
Reddit
Reddit. It's
once.
not my thing.
It wasn't fun. Yeah, and Wattpad has a lot of options too now. They have that a little bit more for your characters and then the chapter ability, and it reads like a story, like an online book. It
That's what
is
I'm
different than,
liking. Yeah.
yeah. It can be there are a few little things that Wattpad will do. So if you write your whole story and then try to edit your chapters afterwards or add them, it messes the whole story up. It doesn't keep the continuity very well. I was trying to do that with one of my stories, and it was the chapters were, even though what I saw was all nice and neat and in order, it was posting them. Other people saw them out of whack. So I just started over, and now I'm doing it in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it'll come out fine that way. But yeah, it has its problems, but then it's got thousands of users too. And so you got your give and your take.
Yeah, I think the purpose behind it, like the ones I'm gonna be posting on there, it's they're all tied together, but they're all good to be standalone short stories as well. I mean, it's this one, unlike Shattered Grace, that one is gonna be pure smut, and it's more just to build up a bit of a fall, get myself out there. My editor was asking me. And she rushed the last of it. I got all of the rest of my edits in last night at, I think, 1 in the morning. But
Oh,
she had asked me, she's like, well, you've written fan fiction or something before, right? Like you've gotten your feet wet. I'm like, no, this is my first project. Like it's the first thing I've written outside of like short stories in high school, which was many decades ago.
Oh, come on, you look like you're 25.
Oh, I love you. I love you. Try adding 20 years to that in December.
I'll trade you chins any days, baby.
It's all angles and lighting.
I know, but and laying down too. I know, but still.
I've only
Okay,
posted one
anyways,
or two laying down photos, but.
we're not gonna do this. We're not gonna say who's cuter or less cute, older looking in their pictures. Okay, anyway, so your editor's like, your first? This is your
Yeah,
first.
so her big thing was because she's like I'm shocked, like it's it, your the way she put it, like she kept. I saw a tweet the other day, actually. I'm diverting a little bit, where it was like, sex is great, but have you ever had your editor come back and say, "Oh my God, your book is phenomenal"? I had that. She's like, your world building and your character development is like on par, and your pacing is excellent. She's like, I've never had such a clean copy to edit. And I'm like, oh, wow, thank you. Like,
Nice. Yeah,
so.
that's that. No one's ever going to say that to me as far as clean copy. That will never be said about anything that I produce. A tweet. Yeah, nothing ever. So that's amazing. That's a really great feeling. That's really encouraging. That's the next thing I want to hear, because you told me about your world and I liked it. It's a little different. It's kind of it. I want you to share the, because I almost put, and I probably will, fantasy erotica. A lot of erotica I read, that has the although I think you've got a whole relationship. I think you got romance. It's I shouldn't call you. I don't want to pigeon you home. What you're putting on Wattpad is going to be smut, and that'll be it. But I think that there's actual romance and world and relationship happening in this story. So
I've been wrestling with it because it's what genre is it going to be?
You could still be erotic romance. That would be more what I consider myself, because I'm not, there's no fade to black for nothing. But and you're a little bit more descriptive probably in your sex scenes, it seems like, from what I've seen. And so yeah, more erotic romance. And then you've got the words. If you look at the erotica that sells on Kindle, it's all really short, you know, 5,000 word erotica story. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how do you write anything in 5,000 words?
That's like three chapters.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm still saying hello. It's not that bad, but almost. Three
See,
chapters.
That's what my other one, it's a working title still for that one. But I mean, the tagline for it is The Sexual Misadventures of a 20-something Trying to Navigate the Queer and Hetero World. That's the one going on Wattpad.
And there's like, it's like zero to goodbye. Is that what that was?
Pretty much. There will be, I think, what's the one term they use on Archive of Your Own? What is it? Right. Porn with plot.
Porn with plot.
I think how they put it.
Porn with PWP. I've never heard that before. That is a good term. Porn with plot.
So going back to the genre part, though, like where I was wrestling with it, because so I'll give you the cross genre of what the book is.
Okay.
It is a cyberpunk romance in an urban fantasy setting.
Okay. See that right there. That is cool. And I've seen your graphics, you know, the art that you've created and the, you know, the silver in the leg and then the tattoos. I was like, is that like a skin? Because that looks so detailed. Anyways, I'm not going to go off. But no, I love that. Cyberpunk in the dystopia, because it's kind of, when you've developed that world concept, what were you, I mean, if you had to pull from, let's say, known movies, what were you thinking? What was there something specific that you were just like, okay, I want a little of this and a dash of that and a little of this?
Well, honestly, Blade Runner will always be near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
And then, I mean, like, there's always like, there's, I'm a sucker for bad movies too. Like Johnny Mnemonic will always be another one is dear and near to my heart, but it was a bad movie. But you know what? It was in the cyberpunk realm.
I need to see it again. Is that the one where he plugs information in his head? Yes,
absolutely. Which is pure cyberpunk.
Like, why would that be bad? I had Kanu.
Oh no. When you go back and watch it, it's kind of looking back at it now. It's kind of like ooh.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch it again. I remember it being very cool the first time I saw it.
Same here. But we're from a different generation too.
Yeah, true. That was before, you know, I think about we were kids and before cell phones. And when we still had that, you know, dial-up phones, but
oh my goodness, yes.
You know, just the transitions that we've seen in life and how natural and addicted I am to that cell phone now. But anyways, so a little bit of Blade Runner, a little bit of Johnny Mnemonic. That is very cool. Now, did you see Alita? That is one of my son's like favorites. He had read most of the comics. So when we went to see it, and then I took my other son, I took two of my boys, and they both loved it, which is rare for them both to, you know, two kids liking the same movie. So, and I quite enjoyed it as well. So, So kind of that too, because that was that had its cyberpunk moments too.
It did. Yeah, it definitely did. And mine is kind of in a way like that. Like it is set more in the future. I'm from the Lower Mainland in BC, Canada. So with that, I'm in the suburbs of Vancouver. But with mine, it's set basically as if the ice caps are melting, the waters are rising. Vancouver has now built itself into a walled city. So it's two cities. It's years in the future. Colonialism has been kind of dismantled, which kind of plays into current politics. It's now referred to as New Salish City and Old Town. And Old Town is everything that's in the outer lying areas.
This sounds incredible. I'm liking how this sounds.
So the other big thing with it too is there are other races brought into it outside of just humanity now. So I refer to them as the Nephilim because it's a, you know, only it's a play on the biblical bit with the floods happening to wash the Nephilim away, who were the children of the angels and humans. Mine, the waters are rushing away, are rising again, and now they're back. But that's now a it's very cool but now it's too. It's more like Seelie and Tiefling. So basically, like demonic kind of looking people and elven looking people. Those are the two new added ones that are basically in there, and so that's the new racism. Ooh. So they're basically still going to share whatever ethnicities of the globe that there are, but they are now also just not human. So that's the new racism.
No wonder your editor was like, wow, on the world building, because you've got all the different elements. You didn't pigeonhole yourself. So you bought in other races, which I love, and you're drawing from, and then you've got this dystopian thing where I imagine you've got the government and then the rundown, you know, it's kind of, it sounds really cool. And you're going to be submitting this to, I haven't said anything to her.
But yes,
let you know, it's been hard and I've almost done it like 4 or 5 times and she's lazy and probably won't listen to this podcast for a week. Yes, I see you, Meryl. But so go ahead. But I haven't said, but it's now, you were thinking she wouldn't love this concept. Are you kidding?
I don't know. It's but there's more. There's more still.
There's more. There always is more. There's
I'm still not even done telling you the world building.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, actually, no. I guess this goes more into character development.
Yes.
So the book centers around Camille Delacroix. She is once upon a time a corporate aristocrat's daughter. Life events happen and she's stripped away from that. Now I also have First Nations heritage, so there's a lot of First Nations influence also in my book. So Camille herself is of her mother was a First Nations Seelie, so she's got the elven blood in her, she's got the First Nations blood in her, and then her dad was this rich dude from France, so she's got the French as well. Where the French is fun is because if you've ever been around people who are ESL French, they throw a lot of French in their conversations. So be prepared for that with the book, especially when she gets angry.
Now, how is the French native to you? Being in Vancouver's not a French speaking area, is it? Or
my family is Acadian. They're from back east. So I'm not a huge French speaker, but that's because the French that my parents speak is like nothing like they speak anywhere else in the world except maybe Louisiana.
That's amazing. So there's going to be all this French in the
and it's not like huge amounts, but it's kind of fun because with just playing up her accent, she doesn't speak with contractions because most ESL people don't use contractions. They use full verbiage, and so with that it was kind of fun. Like I could actually play that up a little bit and things like that, and then things happen in the book where every now and then you might notice a contraction, and it's a bit of a clue to the book. But what it focuses on too, though, is like it really deals with a lot of heavier issues too. Like she's getting out of an abusive relationship with this one guy, and then she ends up finding this completely unexpectedly meeting this other girl who's just absolutely amazing for her. I love my twists and turns. I refer to myself as a cruel mistress when it comes to my characters. I love them, but I'm mean.
They
live very, very hard lives. Yes.
Oh, are you? Well, I always put the hard life in the back story. I'm fluffy, although people do die in my books, and there's lots of, I don't know, but.
I got a lot of late night all caps text messages from my editor. What I will say is, aside from my twists and turns and sucker punches, it's meant to be a series. There's plans of 2 more books and then a prequel. but the overarching theme is lavenders.
Oh, that's a good overarching theme.
It is, but it is definitely a it's got a lot in there. It deals heavily with mental health as well. It deals with racism. There is a lot of aspects that are brought into it and very well done. One of the things that was nice with my editor too is she's not Caucasian, and she is also part of the queer community as well too. So it was nice to be able to have those actual authentic viewpoints in the book when I was writing it, so that way they're knowing my goals. But if there was something that popped up that I kind of missed, and she'd be like, you know what, that's not quite reaching, especially that's not quite working, especially with current climate and stuff
being
revised.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what, you're right. Thank you for pointing that out to me, because that's not what I want.
Yeah. No, that's cool to have that kind of feedback to make sure that you're it makes it it's just informed writing. And yeah, we can write any kind of character, but you can write any kind of character like an idiot too. So that is amazing that you had that, you know, your editor could give you that kind of feedback and make it, and that you're making it so current. And wow, it sounds like that you got, this is a novel you have produced here.
It is. It's 40, it's 46 chapters, 122,000 words, and approximately 425 pages if you're looking at a double space 12-point font.
122. How long did it take you to write?
Off and on for about two-ish years. I hate to admit that for the 10 weeks that I was off during COVID, I didn't read a single book and I didn't write a single word.
What were you didn't read or write? What were you, 10 weeks?
You know all that great digital art you were looking at of mine? I learned how to do that.
You know, when I'm arting, when I'm playing with paint or whatever, because that's what I do, I don't write as much. It's, I can't, you know, these people who create the art and then add the words to the art, I have to create the art, put the art away, not look at it anymore, and then put... put words to it or something later, because those two streams, I have trouble crossing.
So yeah, no, for sure. And that actually part of a huge role model for mine. And he's actually a graphic novel writer artist, because originally Shattered Grace was supposed to be a graphic novel, but it just blew up to be too much. There's no way I could put the gravity of it into that. But I'm not sure if you're familiar with Stefan Sedgwick. He's the one who'd created Sunstone.
No, I'm not. But
fantastic BDSM lesbian romance. Probably the best romance I've ever actually read. It's his emotions are fantastic. His dialogue is snappy. I never thought I'd admit that a guy writing a lesbian romance is probably the best lesbian romance I've read, but it's really good. He gets you, he's the way he draws his emotion, everything. So I really kind of, that inspired me to go from my fade to black to, all right, here you go.
Well, good. I'm glad. And you're going to have to share that author out onto the Twitter so we can retweet.
Oh, I do. I share his stuff out quite regularly.
Okay, I'll have to be watching for that because, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I fangirl often because he actually tends to comment on my posts.
No, really?
So, yeah, well, I want to share his stuff. So it's kind of yay.
That's cool, too. That's really neat. That always makes me, you know, when somebody whose work that I love and they respond, you're like, they're talking to me.
Right? It's the fangirl moment.
They're talking to me.
My wife, she works in furniture, and she is the hugest Supernatural fan, and they filmed that here. And so she would rent them furniture a lot. So one of the set decks brought her in a signed photo of all the guys, and which is now framed on our wall. And then apparently somewhere in season 14, there's a billboard with her name on it somewhere. So she's been watching religiously for it.
Somewhere in season 14.
Because they can't reveal it, right? It's something they sneak in. Like, I have another friend who works in props, and she was doing iZombie, and now she's on The 100, now that iZombie's wrapped. But that's the wonderful thing in Vancouver. We get all of these different parts of the industry, right? So,
You really do. There are so many things that have been filmed up there
yeah.
that that's amazing. But Supernatural, I'm just gonna
How are you doing?
I can't just give you a minute here.
All right, I broke the host.
That is the paranormal it for Okay. Wow, that's amazing. I don't even know what I would. I'd be an insane person the day that came home to my house. And is your wife
Should...
just one of these? Oh yeah, thank you.
Oh no, well, no,
Oh good. Okay, good.
no,
I'm
not at
so
all.
relieved because those people, I don't like those people. I don't understand you.
We have a policy in our home. It's called Embrace Your Weird.
Oh,
Yeah, we love our weirdness and all of that stuff. We're both very, very quirky. So yeah, we have
Oh,
three
that's
cats, so
fun. Three cats and quirky and
and
weird,
all
and
black cats too.
all black cats. I love it. That's fantastic. There's nothing like love that is acceptance like that, though, anyway. So that's what an amazing relationship. Just embrace your weird, dear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time I do something stupid, just embrace the
Embrace your weird. Own it. Like, just.
I'm just gonna own this moment of another ISOL and morning typo. You know why that? I try to Twitter at 4 in the morning when I don't have my glasses on. It's a bad. Or I'll get on Facebook and I'll share something, and the next morning I did something the other day on Facebook. Coming soon. That's all I wrote. Coming soon. And well, that's what I thought I wrote, but instead I wrote coming spoon. And in the morning, I had a lot of fun comments on that
Yeah, I can imagine. Especially
post.
if it's anything to do with like the people that we associate with. Yeah,
No,
we have
well,
to
Facebook
imagine.
is a little bit, but still, they all had quite the delight. Yeah.
Well,
Oh, good Lord. On Twitter, dirty Twitter. Are you
oh my
kidding
God,
me?
I saw a tweet the other day, a conversation between a couple of our mutuals. And someone was like, oh my God, I think one of my friends knows I write erotica. And then somebody responded with, I think a couple of mine know it. So I had to jump in going, I'm pretty sure my parents know at this point. Like, oh yeah, like my mother-in-law was over visiting. I'm like, oh, by the way, this is what I'm writing right now. She wants my book when it comes out. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Gosh, no. My family, my dad, you know, I'm like, Dad, I'm writing all my life. They had told me. And I wrote and it's doing pretty good and I'm making some money. He's like, yeah, can I read it? I'm like, no. Oh, who, what's your author name? Oh, never, never Google
Yeah.
that name. No,
Yeah.
no, 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 no,
That's
no.
like, I work in a bookstore, and most of my staff are like young, like 18s, 19s, and they're like, oh, I can't wait to read your book. I'm like, you're not old enough to read my book.
Get back to me when you're
I'm like, yeah, you're not
21.
allowed to read my book. You are not old enough. And of course, one of our staff is an actress, and then one of the other managers was like, oh, so you know, would so and so be able to act in it? I'm like, actually, there's one character she could play, because I do have one character who's like the 19-year-old little hacker girl who's innocent and boy crazy, and that's about it. She runs around with cat ear headphones, oversized hoodies over top of her body armor. And her nickname is Nerd.
And her nickname is
Yeah.
Nerd.
But she's more there to kind of lighten things up every now and then.
Oh, that's good. Lighten
Yeah.
things up. I
As I
like that.
mentioned, I'm a cruel mistress.
Yes, you are. And you're
Well,
one of I heard somewhere though that that's good. You know, really to create tension, I don't know what, I don't know who said it. Some writer, I don't know if it was Stephen King
darlings.
Or who. No, but put them up in a tree and throw rocks in them and at them, or put the tree on the cliff and hanging over the end of the cliff and then throw rocks at them. So, you know, and then have to get them off the cliff. Yeah. That would create the good writing. So it's good to be cruel. I'm not, but you know, that's okay. You were going to read, I would love to hear you read what, your selection. This is story time. I do talk about other things than sex, you know, so I would love for you to read.
Okay. So I was planning on doing the follow-up to my pinned tweet.
Okay.
Which is that steamy on the dance floor in the club scene. Mm-hmm. Now, I could do the follow-up or I could do the whole chapter.
Why don't you do the whole chapter? Because is it super long?
Do you think? Super long. Let's take a look.
It just depends on how. Go ahead and it's okay. Go ahead and I would love to hear the whole thing.
The ending is worth it.
Yeah, and it would give the reader or the listeners continuity.
That's
so,
what I was thinking.
So yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm just gonna sit back here and you know drool a little bit. But.
All right. Let's see. And forgive me, I'm not gonna try and pull off a French accent.
Oh come on.
All right, so I because I write a kind of sci-fi-ish, I put gimmicky stuff in my book as well. So like, it's time stamped, so you know exactly where in the book it's going. And when I do have text message conversations, I do actually have it laid out so it looks like an actual text message screen on there.
Okay, that's
cool. But that's my gimmicky bits. But
your gimmicky bits.
My gimmicky bits. All right, so now I'm going to stop being shy, and I'm actually going to read this part.
Yeah, come on. Okay. Be proud. Own your weird.
Own my weird. Okay. The rest of the week felt like a blur for Camille. She contemplated her outfit for the night, lazily sifting through her closet before finally settling on a small iridescent dress. The satin dress was a halter style, open to the small of her back and cut low enough in the front to reveal the piercing in her navel. Is scandalously short. I mean, I can see the ends of my garters, she thought. She smiled, playing with the hem where it was sitting high on her thigh. She started to slip a matching pair of satin booty shorts on underneath to maintain some semblance of decency before changing her mind. Looking at the fabric tape on her vanity, she decided against that as well. She hated how itchy it made her breasts feel by the end of the night. Camille completed her look with the long rose gold necklace, wrapping it around her neck twice before looping it through itself to dangle down her chest in a single chain. She wore her usual set of three amethyst studs in each of her pointed ears and styled her long black hair into a simple updo, leaving the fringe loose to frame her face. Finishing the look with a set of rose gold bangles on her left wrist, she put the finishing touches on her makeup. Camille was becoming increasingly frustrated with attaching the garters to the sheer white stockings when her phone buzzed. Bonjour. Hello, love. All set to get your groove on. Cameo waits for no woman, her best friend Cynthia answered. Groove. Really, Cynthia? What century are you living in? Cynthia chuckled in response. Come up first. I need your help. The club's not going anywhere. So now it's Friday, 10 p.m. Camille leaned back in the booth, letting the bass from the speakers wash over her while she watched the crowd. It was busy already, and it was still relatively early. Part of her didn't like how crowded it was. It was hard for her to be fully aware of who was coming and going. Not that that mattered lately, with her mind always seeming to be a million miles away. Hello, Earth to Camille. Camille blinked as Cynthia waved her hand in front of her face to get her attention. Lost in thought again, I see. What was it this time? Your brother, Danny, or Allison? Cynthia's dark teal dress was cut low with long sleeves. It was decorated with gold button details running parallel down the front, below her wide black belt, and also on the cuffs. Camille smiled, taking a sip of the whiskey sour. None of them, if I'm to be honest. Besides, Allison's probably given up on me at this point. Camille frowned and leaned in closer to Cynthia. Why would you think that? I thought she was this angelic being sent to you from on high. Cynthia folded her hands in mock prayer as she laughed. Camille rolled her eyes at her, letting out a long sigh, and she met her friend's gaze. First off, she would be sent by the spirits, and second, I had to blow off our second date. And then there's the incident at the store, which I'm pretty sure scared her half to death, and now she won't even return my messages. Camille held her phone out with the red messages, with the red receipts from the messages for Cynthia to see. She felt a bit awkward, realizing how desperate that must have sounded. Mm-hmm. She probably thinks I'm a total loser. And she wouldn't be wrong, she thought. Oh, I'm pretty sure she doesn't think you're a loser. And besides, love, you may have blown off one date, but you did get to see her the other night. Cynthia reached around and gave Camille a quick squeeze. Right before you got caught up in an armed robbery. Camille leaned against Cynthia, putting her head on her shoulder, letting out a defeated sigh. She probably thinks that I'm some crazy woman who gets off on beating up gangs. I don't know. She's a smart girl. Give her the time she asked for. Cynthia hugged her, ending it with a kiss on the top of her head. Camille nodded, a small smile returning to her lips. Danny, thankfully, seems to have finally gotten the message, though. She sipped her drink thoughtfully. Oh, how so? Well, he has not tried to reach me since I ignored all his messages the other night. She paused, and she giving Cynthia a knowing look. Camille, that's a good thing. So why the frown? Cynthia placed her hand on Camille's forearm. What if you're wrong about him? Maybe he is who I'm supposed to be with. She absently played with her straw in her cocktail with a slight pout. Wrong about him? Cynthia was stunned. Girl, are you listening to yourself as you speak? What? He can be really sweet, and we have quite a lot of history. History's mystery. Cynthia gave her a stern look as she wagged her finger in front of her face. All he does is use you for sex and tear you apart when he can't have it. What happens when his words aren't enough and he decides to hurt you seriously again? It's happened before, and I should know, because I was the one to pick up the pieces, only for you to go running back to him again when I did, I might add. So what are you saying, Sin? He could be the real deal, and I thought you, of all people, would be happy to see me settle down. Camille's pout became more prominent as she propped up her cheek with one hand. Yes, I would in fact love to see you settle down, just not with that abusive date-raping asshole. Any other person out there could be the real deal and 100 times the person that Daniel Russo is. She gestured across the club. Camille nodded at her, nodded at what Cynthia was saying as she followed the path her arm was pointing. Across the dance floor, she made the briefest eye contact with another woman. She was dressed in a pair of distressed skinny jeans and untucked button-down blouse, and she looked just like Allison. Is that her? Is she here? Stop being an idiot, except that you fucked up already. The aggressive thoughts flowed through her mind. Camille clutched her head briefly, trying to ignore the unwelcome thoughts. Someone, I might add, who won't turn you into a battered housewife. That is not the Camille Delacroix that I know and love. Cynthia gave Camille's shoulder a reassuring rub. I guess what I'm trying to say is that you have a good thing going and don't give it up just yet. A good thing? Camille's usual husky French accent was shrill, surprising him in herself. How exactly do I have a good thing? A waitress interrupted them, setting a fresh whiskey sour on the table. Here you are, miss. Camille looked at the near full drink still in her hand. I'm sorry, but I did not order this. I know, it was sent from that table over there. The waitress gestured to the same table that Camille was looking at before walking away. Sin, I swear you pointed Allison out to me. Cynthia smiled into the crook of Camille's neck. You don't say. See, it is them all. Across the dance floor, the same place the waitress pointed to, but no one's there now. Camille stared into her drink, trying not to be frustrated before knocking it back. I swear, Sin, I am losing my damned mind. Losing? Her thoughts questioned. Oh, love, don't worry. I'll still love you even if they lock you up in a straitjacket. Knowing you, you'd probably like it. Cynthia laughed and gave her a hug. Go walk around. Maybe you'll find your angel, or at least a worthy distraction. Are you sure? You won't think I'm bailing on you. Honey, you're not bailing unless you leave the club without me. And if you do, remember I have a key to your home and I know where you sleep. Okay, so no leaving the club without you. Check. Camille gave a sarcastic curtsy. I'll not be long. Camille glided through the crowd, scanning faces until she got to the other side of the dance floor. Glancing across towards Cynthia, they made eye contact before Camille's vision was blocked by the Allison lookalike again. As suddenly as the girl had appeared, she turned and walked away. Frustrated, Camille caught Cynthia's attention, gesturing to the dance floor and waving for her to meet there. Between the alcohol and the heat from all of the bodies pressing up against her while she danced, Camille's shoulders began to relax. She had forgotten how good it felt to go out and to have a care in the world. Her arms left her body, reaching for the ceiling, the music seeming to grow louder. Her eyes were ablaze with passion, and her lips kissed the air as she danced. As she danced her inhibitions away. Camille's hair was becoming limp, and her dress was clinging to every centimeter as she became increasingly sweaty. Camille's eyes fluttered open, with feeling hands sliding over her hips. They weren't Cynthia's. She was still dancing in front of her, and these were coming from behind. The hands slowly slid up her hips to rest on her waist. Small hands, soft hands, feminine hands. Camille didn't care anymore. She wanted some attention and went with it. She put her own hands over her mystery partner's and glanced over her shoulder to see to who it was, but it came up empty. Camille would look right, they would move left, and vice versa, staying out of sight. Camille finally managed to twist in the crowd, coming face to face with Allison, her eyes wide with excitement from all the anticipation and frustration of the night. She placed her hands on the small of Allison's back and pulled her closer. Allison reached up, clasping her hands around Camille's neck, pulling her face closer to her own. It was like the air between them was charged with electricity. Camille could feel little pinpricks across her skin as it tightened from the combined energy. The strobe lights masked their movements like they were on pause at different moments. Their hands roamed over each other, grasping, exploring. Their lips would come within mere millimeters of each other with only a whisper of a graze. Camille finally gave up all control and let herself be pulled in, savoring the salty, sweet taste of Allison's lips, the feel of her tongue on her own as they finally allowed their lips to come together. When they broke away to catch their breath, Allison smiled at Camille, dancing back a few steps before she swallowed up by the crowd again. Bewildered, Camille tried to press through the crowd, but only found the empty edge of the dance floor. She turned back as Cynthia caught her hand and motioned towards the table. "Damn, girl, that was hot," Cynthia exclaimed loudly, fanning herself with her hands. She was definitely feeling her drinks. Camille blushed and let out a wistful sigh as she finished hers. "See," Cynthia bristled with excitement. "Told you she doesn't think you're a loser." Camille looked back out over the dance floor, lost in thought. She couldn't get over how incredible that kiss felt. "Miss," the waitress was smiling as she interrupted the two women once again. She handed Camille another drink with a coaster this time. "From your admirer." "Merci," Camille replied, still beaming, and glanced at the coaster. Written in Allison's handwriting was, "I'll be waiting upstairs," with her name signed Allison with a heart. "Well, what are we waiting for?" Cynthia was looking at the coaster over Camille's shoulder and pointing out the stairs to the club's rooftop bar. With a nod, Camille took Cynthia's hand and led her towards the stairs. Camille shivered and let out a small gasp when the cool air soothed her skin when they stepped out onto the rooftop. As Camille glanced around, Allison bounded up to her, throwing her arms around Camille's waist and pulled her in tight before kissing her once more. "Okay, lovebirds, I'll grab some drinks," Cynthia laughed and rolled her eyes, feigning annoyance. "I cannot believe I ran into you here," Camille smiled briefly at Allison as she pulled away, breaking the kiss. "I feel terrible about the other night." "I know," Allison returned the smile, cupping at Camille's scarred cheek. "Cynthia told me that you would be here tonight." "What?" Camille glanced in Cynthia's direction. "So this was planned? Are you upset?" Allison took a step back, frowning. "No, not at all. Quite the opposite, in fact." Camille grabbed Allison's waist and pulled her back against herself. Allison smiled as she stared into Camille's eyes. "I was convinced you could think you would not want anything to do with me after the other night." Camille turned away to look in Cynthia's direction before turning back, watching Allison and taking in all of the details. "I needed to think things over. I know I told you to tell me anything you want to share with me when you're ready." Allison paused, biting her lower lip, trying to choose her words carefully. "That night put some of the pieces together." She lightly touched Camille's scarred cheek again before running her fingers lightly over the many scars adorning Camille's body that were exposed by the skimpy dress. "I have a clear picture of where your scars are concerned, and some of your tattoos." She glanced at Camille's left arm, tracing the wide black lines that represented wind with her fingertips. "And you have decided that you were okay with them then?" Camille was skeptical with what she was hearing, her confusion becoming cloudier. "As a matter of fact, I have." Allison crossed her arms in front of her chest and cocked her head as she stared Camille in the eye. To any outside observer, the two women looked for all the world like they were about to come to blows. I'm not stupid, Cammy. I see the scars. I've watched you come in the Nickies week after week, sporting new stitches and fresh bruises, all the while looking like you walked off some runway with the lead season's latest couture. So either you are the world's richest klutz, or you are involved in some kind of dangerous work. Camille nodded as she quietly listened. Allison had a point, and she was definitely not giving the waitress enough credit. Now, all I need to know before we go any further is if what you do is illegal or not. She cocked an eyebrow while searching Camille's face. Are you a criminal, Camille? A criminal? Camille couldn't help herself as she let out a laugh. No, Sherry. At least not as far as corporate sanctions are concerned. Corporate sanctions? Allison looked confused. The company I work for is protected under corporate law, and the certain provisions are put in place to be able to meet the needs of my clients. She paused to take a sip of her drink and let Allison catch up. What kind of needs do your clients usually have? Allison leaned in closer, curiosity beginning to get the better of her. We handle crisis management primarily. Sometimes we have to courier sensitive data from one facility to another, often on a very tight timeline. We also offer security services for some of our high-profile clients. Sometimes that means going up against... Camille was all business, laying out the details before Allison cut her off. Allison's index finger was pressed lightly to her lips, and it took everything for Camille to not open her mouth and draw it in. Every ounce of will to not suck on that finger right then and there. The sudden desire that was filling her took her by surprise. I have heard all I need to hear, Cammy. Allison smiled. When she pulled her finger away from Camille's lips, she couldn't help but notice how Camille licked her own, the hungry look in her eyes as they followed her finger. Want to go somewhere? What about Cynthia? I cannot just leave her. Camille glanced towards her friend, who was looking at her phone, pretending not to be paying attention to what was unfolding. We don't have to go far. We could just make out if you want to. Allison glanced over towards the washrooms with a mischievous gleam in her eye. In the bathroom? Camille was stunned at what she was hearing, her cheeks becoming a warm rouge. Oh, go on then, her thoughts filled her mind. It's not like it'll be the first time you're ever fucked in a public bathroom. Well, do you want to? Allison laced her fingers in with Camille's, biting her bottom lip. She raised her shoulders, squeezing her breasts together in an attempt to further entice the taller woman. Camille's cheeks flared when she saw the pronounced cleavage, realizing Allison had released yet another button on her blouse. You would think we were teenagers, no? Give me a minute and then meet me there. Smiling, she let go of Allison's hands and parted ways as she pulled out her phone. Sin, if you cannot find me, I have not ditched you. Do not go home without me. Sin's text message reply, have fun. Camille quickly ducked into the washroom, her cheeks beginning to pinch from all of the smiling. She looked herself over in the large mirror. Her dress was almost sheer in places from being damp and had a run up one of her stockings. Hot mess was all that came to mind while she tried to fix her hair and reapplied her lipstick. A group of other women came giggling into the washroom, no better shape than she was in, and immediately behind them was Allison. The walls throbbed with the ebb and flow of the bass from the club's speakers, dampening all other sounds even here in this bathroom. The two women washed their hands, eyeing each other, waiting for the other group to leave. Are you sure? Allison chose one of the stalls and waited for the yes before going in. Camille nodded as she stepped closer. Allison searched Camille's eyes, waiting for her to answer. Say it out loud, she whispered, softly, seductively, as Camille nodded once more. Oui, I'm sure, Allie. Camille was giggling as the stall door slammed shut behind them, closing the two women into the close confines of the bathroom stall. Is it okay? She asked. Allison asked before putting her hands on Camille's waist. Can I kiss you? I would hope so, chérie. Embrasse-moi, s'il te plaît. Leaning up and kissing the seely woman's lips along the sharp edge of her jaw. Can I kiss your neck? Camille nodded. Out loud, please, Allison whispered as she placed a kiss near her ear. Oui, she groaned. Can I bite your neck? Yes, just fucking do it, she growled. Her body was on fire by the time Allison attacked her neck. Being pinned against a wall wasn't the most comfortable, but somehow the shorter woman managed to reach under her and prop her up. It was the first time she felt that turned on and enjoying having someone between her legs. How many consents do you need? As many as it takes. I want you to never doubt what's happening with me. I want you to know everything. I want to know that you're okay with everything I do to you. Camille felt a rush upon hearing those words. She wasn't sure that she had ever had someone care about whether she was in the mood or ready. And then there was this woman she barely knew who was asking every step of the way. Allie, will you please just fuck me already? Allison smirked at her. She didn't try to hide the lust. She only tried to be sure that if she had ever had the consent, all the possible consent. Allison kissed her neck again. Her teeth felt so good against Camille's skin. Can I put my hand in your dress? Camille nodded. Words, please. Yeah, oui, do it already. Her already sultry accent, sultry voice came out low and husky between deep breaths. One of Allison's hands left Camille's thighs, sliding up her arm until nimble fingers plucked at the inside hem of her dress, pulling it aside and exposing one pert breast and then the other. Small warm fingers touched her belly, slowly tracing the scars and moving until it was within reach of her breasts, too close and too far away. Can I? Oui. Camille forgot how sensitive her breasts were, letting out a low moan when Allison cupped one of them. Allison's thumb slowly traced the dark areola before rubbing the nipple itself, making it fully erect and the fire within Camille burn hotter and hotter. Camille wondered if Allison could feel how wet she was through the thin layer of her panties. She was certain she could feel herself dripping. I'm going to use both hands now, Allison whispered. Allison's whispers vibrated along her neck as she continued to kiss and bite. Yes, please, Camille moaned. Allison was moving her hands slowly, and Camille's legs were hugging her with all of her strength. Allison pressed her harder against the wall so she could use both hands. She didn't stop with the first breast while she traveled Camille's belly with her other hand. Camille held her shoulders while Allison was using her thumbs to rub both of her nipples and her mouth to kiss her throat. Bez, she moaned. Allison smiled against her skin before stopping. Camille was going to complain, and then Allison used her thumb and index to press firmly. Camille was pretty sure she was going to come with the nipple stipulation alone. Allison moved her hands to Camille's waist and stepped back to make her stand. Camille grunted, vraiment? The woman smiled as she sat on the closed toilet and pulled her to her lap. Can I? She asked, holding the hem of Camille's dress. I thought you would never ask. Allison chuckled. Her eyes were shining with lust when Camille peeled the dress off of herself. You should put it on the hook on the door. It looks expensive, and the floor is filthy in here. And yet we're going to fuck in here anyway. I don't think I could have waited any longer. Allison's left hand caressed her waist as she put the other hand on Camille's face, her thumb almost touching Camille's lower lip. Camille's tongue dashed out as her mouth parted, flicking along the length of the digit before taking it into her mouth. Camille was used to casual sex, one-night stands, having a lot of action and no words. Allison, constantly asking for verbal consent, was breaking that illusion, and it felt good. It felt safe. Allison took control, and Camille found herself willingly submitting to her in a way that she'd never had with anyone in the past. She could see how Allison was turned on, too. Allison's eyes burned with lust, and Camille sucked her thumb. The low moan that escaped Allison's throat when she swirled her tongue made Camille moan along with her. She tried not to be disappointed when Allison moved her hand away. Then the wet thumb was hovering over her nipple. Okay? Oui. It was even better. Allison kissed her neck. You taste so good, she said. It was so low that Camille wondered if it was even meant for her to be heard. Can I use my mouth on your breasts? Oui, Camille tried not to gasp at the moment that Allison put her lips around her nipple. She sucked gently. Allison gave equal attention to both breasts, and Camille was sure she was going to come right in the teeth when there were teeth pressing in. She wouldn't complain if Allison was harsher. Allison spoke again, her lips still close enough so Camille felt them move on her chest. Can I move your panties? I'm giving up on my French pronunciation, so I'm just going to say it in English.
You're doing so well. What a moment to break the
cut. Okay, fine.
What did you do? I'm like, can you move my panties? I'm giving up. What? Keep going.
Assez vote de possibly, s'il vous plaît. She gasped, her breathing becoming ragged. And you have the consent to put your fingers inside me too. Allison chuckled. Okay. Camille died a bit with the low moan Allison let escape when her fingers found the wetness that waited for her. Her short nails dug into Allison's shoulders, her back arching when Allison slowly moved a finger around her swollen clit. One simple circular motion that was making Camille whimper, almost begging for more. The surprisingly strong shoulders under her hands and the little cats. The surprisingly strong shoulders under her hands and the little kisses that Allison was doing on her chest only added to her arousal. Allison put an arm around her as her index finger moved around the folds of Camille's vulva. She held her closer, and Camille was happy with how soft the shirt was as she imagined how good it would feel to be held against Allison's bare chest when she had the opportunity to undress her. She began to bite at Camille's neck once more. Camille loved the mouth close to her ear. She could register how Allison was trying to keep her breath steady. There we go, she whispered before pushing her fingers slowly into Camille. Camille moaned with finally having something inside her. Allison's fingers stayed still for some moments before starting to move, in and out, her palm pressing against Camille's clit. Camille felt flames burning and building with every thrust, with every little sound Allison let escape from her lips. Camille whimpered when Allison curled her fingers, touching all the right places. Another one? Allison asked. S'il vous plaît. Camille could barely speak any longer, English escaping her completely. She was sure she heard a little moan when Allison pressed a second finger inside her, keeping the same pace. Allison readjusted her hand to touch the clit with her thumb. Fuck. 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 It was firm and hard, and Camille was sure that she was dying slowly on Allison's hand as she came harder than she had ever remembered. Allison held her close. When she finally came, she was sure again that she heard Allison moaning along with her. And that's the end of the chapter.
I'm not going to complain about you interrupting that perfect tension that you had going by saying you
Sorry.
can't do strength. Wow, that was very hot. Very hot. Your cats too.
So it's a good day. So it's a good debut into the world of erotica, is what you're saying?
Yes, you've got a good debut into the what did you think, Quincy? My friend Quincy's in the chat, so he said replies excellent. Emily, if you're still here, I hope you enjoyed that as well. That was really good, and it's a cool world that you've created. The sex scene was really tense. The moment of levity, sex in the bathroom—not the first time. I'm sorry, I chuckled, but it was just something. It's like, well, I really shouldn't, but I've done it before. So, hey.
Well, see, the one downside with the reading out her thoughts is I do the italicized thought process instead of going blah, 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 she thought. And so one of the things that you didn't get to see in the book yet that has happened already, but because we didn't read those chapters, is she has a very self-loathing voice in her head that
So
speaks
you've got this
very. Yeah, so that's
growth,
where,
this process. Wow, sounds that's even better,
right?
because
So
that's what
even,
women do.
and even the thought in her head, like when it was doing the what, it's not like you've never fucked in a bathroom before. That wasn't her, it was the one
It
that
was a
was kind of
negative.
like, yeah.
But that's what women, there was one writer who was writing, he was his writing was really good, and there were romps, though. They were a little bit more. I said, your writing is good. They're fun and they're raunchy, but your women character are almost too strong, because I've never met a woman who's really that self-confidence about sex and their bodies and men and everything. There was just such straightforward, like, here, you want to, and just taking off the clothes and let's. And that never happens, because we always, there's this negative self, I mean, as people in general, but women especially, we're terrible. We compare, we do this, we do that,
Oh, it is notoriously bad. It is so
it's
bad.
so bad.
And
And that's how women really, if you don't have that in a book, that's like, oh, well, this it's if you don't have it in a book, it means you're reading a man's writing, or you're reading somebody who didn't shouldn't be isn't a storyteller. You
right.
know,
And
bye, Quincy. Go ahead. Yeah, right.
I was
Sorry.
gonna say no. I was gonna say like I want my characters to be real.
Yes.
Like
And
Camille, she's you. So you don't get. I mean, you've seen some of the graphics that I posted. Like she's the left side of her face is very, very heavily scarred. Like from her forehead down to almost down to her jaw is a major scar. Like she's actually has a cybernetic eye there in the beginning of the book because she had lost her eye.
Wow.
Because of the occupation she does, and because it is very violent and things like that, she is covered in stab wound scars and bullet scars, and also too, which was hinted at earlier in the book, self-harm scars from when she was younger and things like that. She's also covered in tattoos. So, like, her left tattoo is a full Japanese Irezumi sleeve. So that's kind of what Allison was hinting at there when she was referencing the tattoo. Her right arm is all indigenous tribal tattoos. And then the same with, like, along her right rib cage. And then she's got a flock of crows that's flying along the lower part of her belly, because with her indigenous background, she has the crow spirit guide. The crow's her spirit guide and things like that. So there's, like, some people go, "Oh, do you have things written about your characters?" I have dossiers.
Yeah, I'm such a pantser. It sounds like you're just a very careful planner, that the depth that you have gone into, and I'm such a pantser. It's not even funny.
I didn't even know
But
what that term was until I tried out the whole NaNoWriMo camp thing. I'm like, what's
I,
a pantser? Like,
what
is
do you
that?
mean people do that?
No, but just the term. When I first heard it, I'm like, what is that? Like, pantsing is like a pantser to me was somebody like walks up behind you and pulls your pants down,
Yeah, that's
right?
what it feels like when you're writing
Yeah.
it.
But back to, like, the characters there, like yes, Camille's a hard body, but that's because makes sense for the job she does. So she is constantly working out, she is constantly training, things like that. Allison, when she's first introduced and Camille has her first sort of little kind of get to know each other date, the description that's going through about her is like, she's adorably chubby and she's shorter and things like that, right? So it's, again, it's not like this perfect
It's a
what you
neat
expect. Like, she's busty,
matchup.
but
I
that's because
love
she's a
that.
curvy girl. She's not
I love
this
that.
scrawny girl who's really busty, right? Camille as well too. Like, she's got small breasts and narrow hips. And her friend Cynthia is, again, like, she's Chinese and she's asexual. So she flirts very heavily with people around and stuff, but that's about it. And they're best friends. And then, like, there's very few, like, straight up white characters in my book. Like, Allison's one of the few for, like, a primary character. But yeah, like, it's just, I want my characters to be real. I want them to be relatable. So, like, even when I do my, like, the pure smut one there, like Chloe Rivers, I'm still gonna be making her a very real character. So.
That's cool. No, that's amazing. That's good writing. That's good writing. That depth and that interest and that uniqueness is and is good writing. I'm gonna have to. I'm my mom. I gotta take it.
Oh, good.
I gotta go.
Suzanne's gonna be getting, all right, my wife's gonna be getting off work here any minute and calling as well too anyway, as she usually does. So.
Okay, I'm so sorry that was a little late, and I'm glad you were patient. You'll have to come on again. It's not like I don't know where to find you on Twitter. This will probably take a little while to post, so I'm not only am I leaving it, but it takes a while for them to generate on high bandwidth days. So in the middle of the day, if we were like, if you wanted an interview at 3 in the morning, it would probably just pop right up. But we may not see it till tomorrow morning, but I'll definitely tag you so that you can share it out. And thank you so
Perfect.
much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, and I would love to do it again.
I hope you do. Oh, look, see,
And
Emily's mentioned.
you
Go ahead.
can definitely tell Meryl.
I will. Maybe she'll
I
listen.
got the last of my edits. I will have everything revised and hopefully have a manuscript out to her this week. Okay.
That's cool. Okay.
Okay.
No, I'm excited about that. That makes me happy. So, I gotta let you go though. I'm
Okay.
such a goon. I'm on
I will
my
see you
word.
online
Okay.
later.
But yeah, please. Bye.
Bye.
Oh my goodness. I'm such a goof. I'm thinking 20 things at once, but I'm just so glad Lady Josephine came on and read to us. That scene was really hot. And I don't usually read Women and Women or listen to it. So maybe I'm a little uncomfortable. If I am, I would never admit it live on podcast. Never, ever. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day. I can't wait to share this with you. Bye. Oh, I want to remind you, your story is important. It doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not. Everybody's story is unique. It builds empathy and communication. So don't be afraid to share it.